Resign! Resign! This is what the crowd is shouting. The masses are marching through the center of Sofia, always gathering in the evening, always heading to the parliament building, equipped with colorful posters and ear-piercing whistles, guided by their indignation and maybe by the spark of hope that they can change the unbearable state of events together. What is the motivation behind this endeavor? Who are the main actors on the street? What is the outcome of their efforts? We are Magdalena, Clemens, Petya and Philip, four students of East European Studies at the Freie Universität Berlin, who are looking for the answers to these demanding questions.
A colleague wrote in Facebook, who was at the parliament, and wrote that Dejan Pevski would be chosen as the chief of SANS. Mm. And I said, "You're joking." He said, "No, no, wait and you'll see." And maybe 15 minutes after that, there was news that the parliament has chosen Dejan Pevski as the chief of SANS. Mm. And I wrote on my Facebook wall, "Let's go and protest. This is unbelievable and unbearable."
How can a bad political decision, the appointment of a single person, trigger a whole protest movement? And who is this Dejan Pevski? He is a member of the Movement for Rights and Freedom, the party of the Turkish minority in Bulgaria, but besides of that, media mogul and notorious oligarch. His designation as a chief of the State Agency of National Security in June 2013 has been this surprising, unbearable occurrence mentioned by Ralica Kovacheva, PhD candidate in Media and Communication Science at the Sofia University. This event provoked tens of thousands of people to march on the street of the capital and demand for the resignation of the current government.
I realized that I should be more involved and more informed, and I realized, yes, that these people were asking and they were fighting for the same reasons that I should.
We just listened to Raya, student in philosophy at the Sofia University. She also became part of this protest movement and went out to the streets. But even more important, for her and her colleagues, the outbreak of the protest was a sign that they should get more involved in the public life and make the power holders accountable for their actions. The young people joined the protesting urban middle class, which was scandalized at the corrupt political elite.
Another student who became very active in the protests is Ivailo Dinev. The 25-year-old activist studies cultural anthropology at Sofia University. Especially among the young people in Bulgaria, he became known as the leader of the student protest group Rano Budnite Studenti. The Rano Budnite Studenti, which translated to English would be early rising students, are one of the most well-known and active protest groups in Bulgaria, which formed itself last year in October at Sofia University. They have staged a lot of creative performances to express their demands and their indignation. Moreover, they got a lot of attention, even from foreign media, with their three-month occupation of the Sofia University in autumn last year.
The summer protest and the Occupy movement protest, the student movement, was a different message for me. The summer protest talked about the communist past only. Mm. For me it's very strange because I was born when the communists were over.
It was already over, yeah.
And it's strange to students to talk about the communist space because we don't know about the communism. We know about the transition.
Now this protest is actually a kind of a radical application on behalf of those new generations that they have to get into the public discourse and contribute to transformation of society. And this is good.
Now we heard Ognjen Minchev speaking. He is a well-known Bulgarian political scientist and head of Transparency International in Bulgaria. Like Ivailo Dinev, he characterizes the young people protesting as kids of transition. According to him, this generation born in the 80s and early 90s is now entering active public life and very important for the protest movement. It was them who tried to direct the attention of those in power to their wishes for the country by occupying the university. But they were not alone. Some university teachers joined them and gave them moral support. One of them was Georgi Bliznashki, a lecturer in constitutional law.
Values rather than the private interests came to the foreground. This is the great breakthrough for our society, resulting from the protests. Later, I called them a moral revolution. People began talking about all the problems and flaws of the societal order much more openly and freely, which led to the establishment of an alternative public sphere for the civil society.
The protest showed that the Bulgarian civil society is alive. This holds true for the media scene as well. During the last years, independent bloggers came up, who counterbalanced the traditional media. This is important, because young people in Bulgaria inform themselves mainly from the internet. They don't trust the traditional media anymore. One of the rising stars of the protest movement is Ivo Boshkov, an independent blogger who became famous due to his uncut reports with hand camera shots. Recently, he got his own TV show, which he regards as a tool for connecting different parts of the society.
I'm in Bulgaria from 2005, and I've expected a lot from the situation to change, from politicians to start to remember what happens when there is a bad political decision, but it never occurs. So. The only way to put much pressure in, it's not going out 10,000 or 50,000 in the street, is to make institutionalized push on the power.
The recent demonstrations are the protest of young, educated citizens. These citizens, who stand up for their rights, live mainly in Sofia. They are many, but they nevertheless represent just a small part of the society. Bulgaria is divided. The division of the country corresponds to the division of the media scene. On the one side, bloggers and protesters. On the other side, traditional media and the silent majority. Listen again to Ralica Kovacheva, the head of the student television, and how she is explaining this issue.
It appeared that there is a group of journalists who are critical against this group, and there are some kind of bent from hiring in big Bulgarian media, televisions and newspapers. And this group of journalists became bloggers. So they are very strong journalistic blogs in Bulgaria and blogs of other citizens who are politically active. But this cannot anyway do the job of the traditional media and the mainstream media. Because 80% of Bulgarians get their information mostly from TV.
And the traditional media Kovacheva refers to, television and newspapers, are controlled by people like Delian Peevski. They exert massive influence on the public opinion. The influence of oligarchs like Peevski on Bulgarian politics was one of the triggers for the protest. Such conditions don't match with democratic practices. But how can a protest movement address more people with its critique on these insupportable conditions? One way could be to change its agenda a little bit, how Ognjen Minchev, political scientist, suggests.
And their agenda is mostly liberal agenda.
Mm-hmm.
While the people who are representing the silent majority could be mobilized more and more by other political projects,
mm-hmm.
by more traditional type of conservative or radical egalitarian projects and so on and so forth. This is part of the crisis that we experience.
The Bulgarian society is divided in many respects, divided between young and old people, between liberals and conservatives, between capital and countryside. And these are just the most important ones. To overcome these divisions turns out to be very difficult. Currently, a convincing political strategy of the protest movement is still missing. The enthusiasm of the first days of the protest has faded away, and now it becomes apparent that the change of the political culture in Bulgaria is a long-term project.
The angry, spontaneous energy of the protest needs to be transformed into a long-term process that changes the political culture. Part of this process could be the creation of new political parties which can change the government policies from within if they get elected. But in reality, taking the step from political protest to political process has been much more difficult, as Ralica Kovacheva, the PhD candidate from Sofia University, tells us.
A few first steps
in
the last 20 years in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
But they remained first steps.
Yeah.
There was no the second step. This crucial, very important step of making this process permanent and consistent.
Mm.
That's the problem.
One reason why creating such a long-term process has failed so far is that many people who protested in the streets were actively distancing themselves from any kind of political party or organization. And this has happened because in the last 20 years, politics has become a dirty word in Bulgaria. Due to the widespread corruption and the shady dealings of the oligarchs, everyone associated with politicians, even just by meeting and talking to them, is considered dirty and corrupt themselves. Especially the young student protesters we spoke to were opposed to the idea of working together with any type of political party. That seems to be one reason why a powerful political platform based on the energy of the protest has not emerged, as political scientist Ognjen Minchev tells us.
The protests are viable but passive defense of democratic rights and opportunities. They fail so far to produce active political platforms of change.
The protest movement has started a process in which people are becoming conscious of their democratic rights and freedoms, and new civil initiatives are developing. Especially the young generation, the so-called children of freedom or children of transition, are not willing to give up their country, regardless of whether they are living abroad or not. They continue their fight for a better future and against the current political structures. And even if their struggles seem to be in vain sometimes, they try to keep their heads up and maintain the spirit of protest.
Many of my colleagues and friends have changed since the protest started. I have friends who are studying abroad and they are saying, I want to go back and I want to make things change.
Mm-hmm.
It's optimistic.
You have heard the radio feature Youth in Transition by Clemens Günther, Magdalena Riede, Petja Christova and Philipp Remde, recorded within the university project Bewegung durch Kunst at the Freie Universität Berlin on the topic of civil disobedience in Eastern Europe. in cooperation with YCBS. We want to thank all our interview partners for their support. Stay tuned and follow us on our blog bewegungdurchkunst.wordpress.com and www.ycbs.eu.
A convincing political strategy of the protest movement is still missing. The enthusiasm of the first days of the protest has faded away, and now it becomes apparent that the change of the political culture in Bulgaria is a long-term project.
Usually, if the people protest against a government that massively, at some point the government steps down and a new government is elected. During the last 20 years, Bulgarians have forced more than one government to step down. The last time this happened was in February 2013, after a hike in energy prices caused widespread protest. But despite that, the rule of populists and oligarchs remains unbroken. People were back on the street only a few months later, demonstrating against the next government. So what comes next for the people who protested? Ivo Boshkov, the blogger, has something to say about that.
Bulgaria is divided. The division of the country corresponds to the division of the media scene. On the one side, bloggers and protesters. On the other side, traditional media and the silent majority. Listen again to Ralitsa Kovacheva, the head of the student television, and how she is explaining this issue.